You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Get sick of football a little earlier each year.
Oh, no. From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio. That's not a good sign. It's Around the NFL, and it's untrue.
It's cynical.
For some of us. I'm Dan Hanzus, joined by some heroes, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler.
The drop actually reminds me of a very funny tweet we got last week, I believe, which it said Mark is always like hoping for the season to speed up, but he's also hoping for the off season to speed up. So it was saying, like, does Mark just have a problem with the concept of time?
Right. It's becoming more of just a thing. The idea of time is becoming a greater issue to Mark.
It's a fair critique, but I do think, and I'm not just saying this, like, this time around, I am excited for football, and I don't feel like I'm attached team fan-wise to a 2022 version of the Titanic for once.
Although you were tweeting out the Ernest Johnson notes.
I saw that.
Like, when he decided to throw on the game pass of a preseason game, went immediately to D'Ernest.
I covered them all 32 teams equally in professional.
I didn't see any on Rashad White of the Bucks or anything.
It also didn't seem overly Sessler-y? Did you guys notice that? Or did you notice that, Greg? D'Ernest Johnson is on track to flat out start somewhere in the NFL down the line. That's a little hot takey from Mark.
I think it can. Like, I really thought that last year.
I think that happens when he's watching. He had to have been watching him, though.
Right? I was.
Yeah, to get that. But Mark will do that. He's a tape dog.
On the subject of preseason games, I want to share with you my three things that I care about with the preseason, which is mercifully over next weekend. Mm-hmm. One, did anyone substantial get injured? Two, did a rookie or maybe a making the leap type guy blow up in some way? Three, did the Ravens win? But can you guys answer me how week two went for the preseason? Any of those things? Did anybody substantial, like a starting level, big time guy, get hurt?
Well, that's coming up in the news somewhat, but not a ton.
I would say, not massive
we'll
star,
get to that.
But like some developing players.
Did a rookie or making the leap dude blow up?
I would say yes.
Oh, certainly. There's some examples of that. You can find it on the 68 things that takeaways from preseason week two.
Although, there's only one takeaway left that I care about.
Most of them weren't from the games. They're from
the Ravens win?
Hell yeah.
The Hayes on the board.
Yes. What are we up to? 22 games in a row?
Yeah.
It is. Forget about.
And they're not even trying this year.
Joe
they're not
DiMaggio.
Playing any starters.
What are the great streaks? I mean, none of them to me measure up.
Cal
to
Ripken?
What we're seeing.
This
Ripken,
is bigger than Cal Ripken.
DiMaggio. Whatever. 22 straight preseason wins now.
Couldn't you argue this is what they've done because the preseason has so many X factors and bizarre variables that this outshines the Cal Ripken streak?
Yeah.
Well, it might be more improbable because, like, last night.
What did Cal Ripken do? He got up in the morning and played baseball.
Or went to work, like, a couple thousand times in a row.
Congrats. They haven't played their starters either.
Good for you.
I mean, I guess they've been playing teams that haven't played their starters, so it's even. But it's not like Lamar's out there. It's not like any of these starters are out there, but it's just in the culture.
That's why it's a total flex.
It's the biggest story. It's the biggest sports story nobody talks about.
Fox tried to make it a thing last night. It was on. I was writing my article while I had it on in the background. And they were mentioning how Trace McSorley, who, of course, contributed to a few of those wins with the Ravens, now starting for the Cardinals. And he's like, look, I know how much it means over there. Like, they take it serious. If we're not on our P's and Q's, we're going to be in trouble. And you know what he was? They were down 24-3 until Kyler Murray came in as a play caller, the next Mike Martz.
I think that it's a great move by the Cardinals, by the way.
Good PR.
Is a sneaky, high-level PR move. It's like,
tell me why.
Oh, the story was 10 days ago, Kyler Murray just wants to sit around and play like he wants to game all day long. But now he just steps in and calls a pristine, crisp half of football. What is your quarterback doing?
I saw Zumwalt on tech. Zumwalt was getting pumped about that, too. And it just made me think of, he's probably calling the same three plays he calls in Madden. You know, the guy that runs three Madden plays over and over again? He's like, whatever he does in his gaming life, he just transferred over and maybe somewhere.
He was mixing it up, too. McSorley got down to the one, almost scored, and then it's third and goal. You just need like a foot, and he called like a read option with McSorley going over.
I was lambasted on the show last Monday, by the way, for bringing up Trace McSorley as a spicy August.
This was
performer.
More in the Kyler context. Cliff went 0 for 6. 0 for 6. Scoring touchdowns as the play caller. Kyler comes in 2 for 2 in his first two drives.
It doesn't matter.
Although there was what you looked for, the rookie sort of breakout. Isaiah Likely is a thing. 6 for 100 in the first
there
half of that game. Like, I didn't even throw it in the column at this point because we've talked too much about Isaiah Likely. He is like a rookie tight end who is probably their third best receiver right now.
Sounds like
Ravens.
He's likely to come up often this season on Around the NFL.
Good job.
Nice.
Nailed it. Transition.
Sean Payton tried to do that too, yeah.
Coming up on today's show. Listen, the people wanted it, but you can't rush some things. You have to wait for the right moment. Nay, the flashpoint. Oh, yeah, flashpoint focus.
Flashpoint, flashpoint, flashpoint.
It's about getting in front of the story, not reacting to the story. The Flashpoint series is back.
Testimonial.
Flashpoint is simply awesome.
What an ongoing series.
It's perfectly timed.
We can dig it.
Greg's a jerk.
These guys get it.
That's what the Flashpoint's about.
Oh, yeah.
Now we know why it's back.
I recognize some voices in
just,
that.
Just
in
for that 30 production. Seconds of Dan finally just feeling pure joy listening to his creation. It's good. You didn't rush it. And
Was that a testimonial section within that?
There was. It was very rich.
Wow. So what else do you need, Greg?
I was expecting you to find the clips of us, talking Baker, talking Carson Wentz, like right before they truly reached
it. It stands on its own.
Yeah.
Stands on its own. And also, you should know... Many, many people reached out to me for the Greg's a Jerk sound drop. And I was like, just all different directions. I was like, guys, no. Back off.
Just a title.
Like you sent a group email, said, who wants to take it? And that was how
it was.
It was
like, me. Settling scores all over the place. All right. So that's coming up. Flashpoint series. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We have been patient. It's been a long time. It's like... You think about Terrence Malick, the director.
Mm-hmm.
He directed in 1978, Days of Heaven, and then he waited 22 years.
Sat on it.
To drop The Thin Red Line.
Sat on it.
20 years. And I think there's a parallel here. He's a master class director, and Flashpoints is something that we hold in such high esteem that we're not going to rush it.
Although after that, he just started churning them out. So is that what we're going to do? Are we going to wait?
Well, we'll go our own way. But
right. We're following the Malick model. Yes, Justin.
Fun fact, my very first internship ever was for Terrence Malick as an office intern back in Austin, Texas.
Was he nice?
Wow.
He was really nice.
Mark's finally going to like
actually,
you now.
Yeah. I actually would like to speak with you after the show.
He writes his scripts on a typewriter still, and it's
really
interesting.
Isn't it nice that also you finally now found an inroad with Mark?
Yeah, we've had a little tension on the show.
But now it's organic. We didn't force it. It's organic.
Mike?
It all fits.
Kind of like today's Flashpoint.
Very well done. And we have a special guest coming on to talk. It is Scott Reynolds from PewterReport.com. The Bucks and Tom Brady, who returned to practice today after his mysterious absence that maybe was connected to a really goofy Fox reality show. Maybe. according to rumors. You know, I have connections, just like you guys do, to people in the business of show living here in Los Angeles. I got a text on good authority that was like, buy in. It's real. He's going to be on The Masked Singer.
I mean, I'll believe you, but I find that
don't
to
believe
be,
me. I'm just saying this is somebody that's in
if
the
that's why
business of show.
He stepped away. If it was a personal matter, like they called it, but if he stepped away to do The Masked Singer, I do think that Tom Brady has departed mentally.
I got a source that said the opposite.
I did also.
Not doing The Masked Singer.
Yes.
This is a source off, isn't it? Now, this isn't my reporting because I triple source, as everyone knows. But this is just one source that had told me that. Hello.
Oh, well. I mean, it does line up in very – it's a compelling conspiracy theory.
All right. Before we get to Flashpoint, let's get to the news.
Now, everyone, get out your popcorn because the Panthers announced Baker Mayfield as their starting quarterback, which means he's going to be facing the very same team that drafted him number one overall.
Drama.
Okay. No drama.
Yes, many of us saw it coming, and now it's official. Baker Mayfield will be the week one starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers when they face Baker Mayfield's former team, the Browns, in Charlotte. Head coach Matt Rhule announced the decision Monday. Here is his statement that was released by the website, or his quote. When we started this process, we were looking at three things. Number one, mastery of the offense. Number two, situational football excellence. And number three, moving the ball and getting guys involved. That's been our focus all along. Baker has made a lot of improvement, a lot of growth in all three areas in a short amount of time. So it's Sam Darnold, last year's starter, will back up Baker Mayfield. And we will see if Mayfield, Greggy, can basically resurrect his career after a very tough ending in Cleveland.
Well, I do want to thank Matt Rhule and Scott Fitter and everyone who saved us from Sam Darnold being a week one starter in the NFL. Makes this organization more entertaining, makes that game against the Browns more entertaining.
Yep.
I mean, they might be favored. I got questions about the Browns roster. Certainly, it's certainly spicier. And I think there's a chance here that Matt Rhule's offense helps him out. Even if he put up Teddy Bridgewater's numbers from 2 years ago for the Panthers this year, like the Panthers would just be a much better, more watchable team. He'll do it in a much more entertaining, different way. I feel like they wasted a little too much time pretending this was a battle, but it's fine. It ended here.
I mean, they could have brought him in earlier too after all this, but it's funny to me that Cleveland will be paying Baker Mayfield $10.5 million to potentially start their season off on a low note.
That's such a Browns thing.
It really is. I mean, this year especially. It's for Sam Darnold, I think your days as even competing to be a starting quarterback in the NFL based outside of some sort of truly chaotic scenario down the line, it's over. And it's kind of depressing a little bit on the Darnold front because in theory, he should have been the heavy favorite. For someone who knew the offense, for someone that had the entire bulk of the offseason, he's just not a better quarterback. I think Baker Mayfield, for all the you think that Sam Darnold is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield?
I just want to see both of them play on the same team. I'm looking forward to the season.
That's fine.
From that standpoint.
It's very possible both will play, but I really genuinely think that from the very beginning, Baker Mayfield's
way more accomplished, yeah. Obviously. But and if we want, we could use this to write the eulogy of Sam Darnold's career, but I just would not be shocked if you end up seeing both of these quarterbacks. Baker, from the moment he got there, even though they did present it almost out of, it seemed like, respect for Darnold, who had been in the building for over a year, they made it look like it was a competition, but it never was. This was Baker's job to win. And I'm happy that he's doing against the Browns in week one. That's just fun. But this will be something I'll be interested to see where things are at this position by October.
I'm
just not as high on Mayfield, I guess.
I'm not either, but
he was bad last year.
He's had moments.
He's hurt.
I get it. But even
everybody's
that,
hurt.
I get it. But Darnold is among the biggest busts in NFL history to me. Like,
what?
I really would put that for a top pick.
Dude, are you kidding me? One of the biggest busts in NFL history?
I think if you just look at the number, got a longer timeline, but if you just look at the numbers of quarterbacks who have started that amount of games over like a 4 year period, it's there with anyone in the last 20 years, basically any numbers wise. And those guys usually don't get as many chances as he did, so it's a little different than like an Akili Smith or guys like that who only got 1 year or 2 years. It doesn't matter. Maybe he'll end up playing. I'm sure he will again as a backup somewhere. He'll get another chance, and you're right, Dan. It'll probably be like one this year. But this gives him a shot. It's a weak division. We'll talk about that later with Scott Reynolds. But there's some possibility
here. I hope I'm
wrong,
because I think Baker, in light of everything that's happened with Cleveland this year, I think it would be kind of a little bit delicious if Mayfield had a big season. So I'm okay with being wrong.
Well, and
on
also, if what you say will happen happens, and Baker Mayfield is missing starts because he's been benched, his career is also in a very dark place.
He's a backup too. I think Darnold with this is heading into that. He's a number two guy and probably can hang around for a few years, but I think he will get an opportunity.
Tells you a lot.
And it's telling, like, this is it for Matt Rhule. He's got to win with Baker Mayfield. I think there's a chance he could, but Matt Corral's injury over the weekend, he's going to miss the season. Remember, that's the third round pick that they took in the draft. To me, is very like typical of everything with this Matt Rhule era. If he goes, if Matt Rhule doesn't survive this year, I think he's gonna really look back and hate the half measures he took. It all was half measures. Teddy was a half measure that they gave 2 years guaranteed. He was okay, not great. They wanted to upgrade. Darnold ended up being a half measure too early. Like, they could have gotten a draft pick last year. They could have gotten Mac Jones. They could have gotten Justin Fields. They could have gone bigger at the position. And Baker was kind of a last-minute half measure. And Matt Corral was kind of a half measure. Like, we're not going to go all the way in for our rookie quarterbacks this year, but we are going to give up a third-round pick to move up for next year for whoever's running this team next year. They don't have their third-round pick. The Patriots have it. And a fourth-round pick to go get Corral. So you hate to see him get injured. But just like it was a lot of, like, we didn't ever want to go all in, and then suddenly you might be gone.
They lack identity, and I think, you know, I look at the GM too. I mean, it's for a team that came in under their ownership with such urgency when attached to Matt Rhule. We're in year three, and I see no distinct characteristics about who the Panthers are right now. Maybe Baker.
I guess,
can
to be
that.
Fair, they tried. They just swung and missed. They wanted Stafford
over and
they,
over.
They wanted Watson. They just didn't get him.
And I could hear it now, so I just want to get out in front of this. I am not saying that Sam Darnold has a career ahead of him that's going to be shining, but when you say he's one of the biggest busts in the history of the NFL,
give me a quarterback specifically.
He was never in position to be successful in the league, and there are guys like Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Leaf and Vernon Golston who are outright disasters, who were next level type busts.
I'm thinking
that's
a quarterback
a different category
though.
To me.
Yeah, I guess, but give me the quarterbacks that you would put in a different category than him that have played. I guess Russell is your example. Russell, if you wanted to go look, had some moments. Now he
even
wasn't
in the top
good.
10, even right. in the top 10 of that draft, I think you could look at the guy that was taken by the Arizona Cardinals
sure.
as a bigger bust than Darnold.
Sure.
I mean, where is that guy?
He's on the Browns. Probably will not be in the next month, but he is on the Browns right now.
I'm calling him that guy because his name has escaped me.
Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen,
that is a raging bust.
Sure.
And that's not to pile
it's
on Josh
different.
Rosen. I'm just
but
saying.
I guess like people like, and I hope he can have like a Gabbert-like career. But to me, like that's where you're at.
I'm not arguing lower
than a Gabbert and Akili Smith.
Yeah.
Those top picks who got a little
Akili chance. Smith.
Yeah.
All right.
He didn't last
Let's
long.
Let's pause right here and take a break. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap, fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
another former first-round pick, current first-round pick. When do you become a former first-round pick? Next year, I guess? I don't know. Kenny Pickett.
I think he's just the first-round pick.
He's just the first-round pick.
Maybe after his career.
He's balling out in the preseason. 6-7, 76 yards, touchdown against the Jaguars this weekend. And, you know, Kenny Pickett, Mark, there have been positive comments about him. There was criticism about how he started his camp, and he looked very green and like a rookie. But now when he's starting to stack up these preseason performances, it goes back to what I was saying a few weeks ago. Like, we need to see how he performs in these games before we decide or before we are sure that somebody like a Mason Rudolph or anyone else is starting quarterback for this team.
I still tend to think that they would like to roll Mitch Trubisky out there early because their offensive line, according to, I think Mark Caboli is one of the best Steelers reporters out there, and has said that on a day-to-day basis, the line has looked more fractured and messy than a year ago, which is a big problem. It was a problem for Big Ben. That said, when you watch Kenny Pickett, it's just like in these games, and I think that's an argument for the preseason. I'm not a big preseason fan at all, but like the chance that we've had to experience Kenny Pickett in game situations, and he was playing the starters against the Jaguars in this recent affair.
He's played with starters against starters.
Right, yeah. And he's looked fantastic, and I think he's sort of everything that Mike Tomlin said he wanted post-Big Ben, a mobile quarterback. He can throw on the run really well. He does well off script. I think this is the problem here for a little bit, if you're Mitch Trubisky or anyone else, is that this is a special situation where this is someone who Pittsburgh already loves because where he went to school and who he is, and he's showing up really well in these games. I don't know how you fend him off for more than a week or two.
And Mike Tomlin loves him. I mean, he was
Mike Tomlin said on the draft, the night of the draft, they asked, would you be open to starting Kenny Pickett week one? And go look at his words. He said yes.
I think he's got a shot. We're taping this on Monday, so it's kind of an awkward time. We'll see what they do with their practice reps. But after the game, Tomlin said, just that's who he is, Pickett, because he led a two-minute drive. And his numbers are great, but actually Trubisky's numbers are quite good, and Mason Rudolph's numbers are great too. And none of them have been protected well. Trubisky, especially against other starters, has had no protection, and he survived pretty well. But what Tomlin said after the game to me was very telling. He said, that's who he is in terms of Pickett's ability to come up in the clutch. He did it next door. He probably did it in high school. He probably did it in Little League. Some things people are born with. Like, he's not talking about that about Trubisky or Rudolph. And I tend to think you're right. I think Trubisky probably gets week one, but we might find out by Wednesday that's wrong and that the leash now is extremely short because of Pickett's preseason.
In other news, the Washington Commanders, this Antonio Gibson situation is getting dicey. The running back served as Washington's kick returner in their preseason game against the Chiefs. He's playing behind Brian Robinson. And, Greg, this was not the game plan. This is not how Washington saw their offense maturing with Carson Wentz, and they thought Gibson was a major guy. But maybe he's not, because the team and the coaching staff does not seem to be very excited right now.
It could be Ron Rivera sending a message, but Brian Robinson just is a kind of – straight ahead, I'm going to try to get the yards that are there guy. And Ron Rivera literally said last week, Antonio Gibson needs to run harder. And I don't think that means their roles are flipped and that Gibson's definitely the backup, but it's going to be a three-person committee. This is a guy that was getting taken, Gibson, in the very high reaches of fantasy drafts while Robinson was barely getting drafted at all. And it feels like a three-man committee at best for Gibson, with J.D. McKissick also being a big factor.
It's a rough tumble because it's not like a new regime came in and just saw Antonio Gibson differently than the past. I mean, Scott Turner knows him really well, but he's had the fumbling issues. He had a terrible fumble against the Panthers in that first preseason game, which just was thematically what one of the things
he'll
I think
get Ron his chances too. I don't think he's just going to be buried. But
they'll both play. But I mean, I think if you're in fantasy world, and we'll talk about that on Wednesday, it's suddenly a clown car. You don't know
why'd
what's
you
going
throw
on.
Your hands up like that.
See, that's
not,
a fourth.
You're not looking forward to the fantasy.
No, I totally am. I just meant like I. Why should
you
I?
Said,
dig-
wait, we're not. You know, we'll talk about that on Wednesday.
Why should I dig in on it now when we're going to go into such depth on Wednesday?
We took you off Fantasy Corner last year, remember? And you were in studio and a major part. I thought you would have enthusiasm, not the throwing up the arms. Like.
I actually have a very special update to come on Wednesday.
Oh.
Just to let you know.
I just think like
interesting. Nice tease.
Like this wasn't maybe a fourth thing that you can learn from
Okay, I'm open to
position battles.
Okay.
I got to admit, though, you're right. What McVay did in terms of sitting his starters a few years ago, that was like the canary in the coal mine. And more than ever, most teams are doing that, and it's increased each and every year. So I would say the vast majority of my 68 things we learned from this last week was not from the games. It was
the second plug of that article?
Yeah. I mean, nice. I believe in it. I'm putting too much work in
Need
it.
Need another one before the end of the show.
But I think for you, Mark, you know, when you think about the fantasy element of this week and you think about how important you are to this show, I think you should listen to what Carson Wentz has been trying to tell us all offseason. You know,
as we all know, decided to really go ahead and start to take command.
That's a take command scenario with the fantasy extravaganza.
You want me to start to do that?
Well, it's all hands on deck. You know, we need.
When did I suggest I was not going to be a part of it?
On the YouTube show, can we have an instant replay of Mark throwing up his hands like, oh, we'll talk about that on Wednesday?
Well, that's not the way I said it, but I don't think.
Sure.
Rookie injuries to talk about. Here we go. And that's one of the big three. Greg, I have I've thought it over, and positional battles do not make my top three.
Okay.
But if doesn't mean like
not
it's definitive.
Battle?
It's not definitive like my top three has to be everybody's top three.
Okay.
It's just mine. Yours might have more than three or four or five or six, and positional battles could be yours.
I kind of love this time of year because we've spent a lot of time talking about not knowing much in terms of like how is this all going to happen. And I think you get into it with the Jets. You want to know like who's having good camps, who's up, who's down.
Mm-hmm.
Just expand that out by 32 teams because all these like questions of these teams, like they're being answered quietly.
If only I could expand myself out to 32 teams the way Greg just does effortlessly.
Right.
Yes. No, that's good. I'm happy that it makes you that excited.
It's sort of a hold-in for you in terms of coverage and content.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just running out the clock a little bit and getting excited for next week.
I think that's an honest answer from you.
Rookie injuries. Giants first-round pick. Outside rusher Kayvon Thibodeau, our friend, out 3 to 4 weeks with a sprained MCL, got taken out by a low block that led to a lot of internet discussion and consternation. Not everybody has to have takes on everything. Guys,
apparently they do.
This world, you know, we're always fighting about stuff. Do we need to be fighting about everything? How about we just say, bummer that the rookie, that kid hurt his knee. I hope he's going to be okay. Not like I know what block should be legal and illegal. You don't know the game. You never played the game. You're not a good guy because you see things differently. Enough of that.
That's when I switch over to TikTok.
Seattle running back Kenneth Walker dealing with a hernia, and he has surgery. So I'm not sure how long they're going to be without their running back. But there's always an injured running back when we're talking about the Seahawks. It seems hopefully he gets better soon enough. And Patriots wide receiver Tyquan Thornton out 8 weeks. That's a toughie. I think a broken collarbone was the injury.
A collarbone injury, yeah. But there's different types of broken collarbones that he could still return this season. But I do think that could impact a potential trade because it felt like either Kendrick Bourne or maybe Nelson Aguilar was going to get traded. At first, I thought it was Aguilar, but then Bourne is having a bizarre camp where Belichick yelled at him. He got kicked out for fighting.
Coach Bill yelled at me.
Yeah, people saw Belichick like yelling at him. Then he was benched in the preseason game, even though he was healthy. There was some stuff going on there. And he hasn't been targeted much, but apparently.
Thornton was their best receiver this summer.
Potentially. That might be bold. But yeah,
I don't know.
A smaller, he's the only one on the team that is fast. So I would have liked him to be healthy.
He'll be a little slower for the next 8 weeks at least.
If the Patriots come out and score like 35 points a game over the first month of the season, then I'm with you, Dan. I will never pay attention to anything that happens in the summer ever again because it just seems so gloomy.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm really looking forward to September 11th. Well, 2022.
Right.
Finally in the news, Dana White is the grand poobah of UFC. Like, he's the guy. He runs the whole show, and they had one of their events. I'm not really a big fan. I don't follow it, but I know millions of people love UFC. So whatever the big UFC event was this past weekend, he was speaking as part of some type of round table of, I don't know, pre-fight or post-fight discussion. And he had this to say with Rob Gronkowski in studio about a potential sliding door scenario, never saw the movie, involving Tom Brady and Gronk and the Las Vegas Raiders.
So
I want to bet.
I'm the one. I worked to put that deal together for Brady and Gronk to come to the Raiders, and it was almost a done deal. And at the last minute,
Gruden blew
the deal up and said that he didn't want him. And hell broke loose, man. It was crazy. And Brady was already looking at houses, and it wasn't being said yet that Gronk was coming. So Las Vegas would have had Brady and Gronk the year that the Bucs won the Super Bowl, except Gruden blew the deal up. And there's so much story that goes along with this behind the scenes. And I was never going to tell that story till Gronk just said it, but
And Dana,
let me tell you what
Brady
was
what
not
happened,
happy.
And you just told the story, and I'm glad it did not go through.
Really?
Yes, I am glad it did not.
Unbelievable! That was Gronk. You heard at the end there, and you know, Mark, you brought up, and it was a good point that now that we have this information, and you have one of the principals tied to it directly confirming it, which was Gronk. Brady's commentary shortly after when he was on The Shop, the NFL show or the HBO show with LeBron James, this comment he made, you could start to, you know, connect the red strings.
There was a story in free agency. One of the teams, they were interested, and all of a sudden they weren't interested at the very end. I was sitting there thinking, you're sticking with that motherfucker? Are you serious?
So that motherfucker is Derek Carr, right?
You think so? I mean, just because of what we've learned from this, where it was this 11th hour Gruden, for whatever reason, deciding, I don't want Tom Brady and Gronk. I don't know what the mentality was there.
I have a guess, by the way, but go on.
This is an ATN investigation.
I guess it is. Here we go.
No, go finish your point.
Well, no, I it could have been Mitch Trubisky because the Bears were in the mix. There was just sort of like a couple of quarterbacks out there where you go like the slanderous. Well,
everyone thought
it
was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick
as of February because he was trying to get to the Dolphins based on that Flores thing. But the way Brady positioned it, that it was a last second,
like,
it certainly seems to be this story.
And my theory is that Gruden, who's a control freak with a huge ego, I can imagine he didn't want Tom Brady's the boss wherever he is. And that is not the situation. Gruden, he wanted that to be his team and his team alone. And Derek Carr is someone that, I'm not saying Derek Carr is a puppet on the strings, but he's somebody that Gruden
could control. He's a player.
Yep. Ego, getting in the way. That's original.
Right.
Worked out well for John overall, I would say.
And Gronk's like, I'm glad that didn't happen. And it's like, yeah. And people were like, really? What do you mean, really? You just won a Super Bowl with the Bucks.
Yeah, but Gronk was also, he could have been partying in Vegas for 2 straight years. That would have been cool too for him.
Gronk was sneaky great those 2 years. But that is, it is amazing. And it is a life lesson. I think that it's true in a lot of walks of life. More people than you would think are just kind of worried about protecting their turf and keeping their gig versus like trying to do a good job or like succeeding.
Yeah, I think that's a sad but true commentary on the world, Greg. we'll have more on Tom Brady and the Bucks and maybe even Gronk after this break when we the return of the signature series of Around the NFL.
Signature.
It's time.
We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Flashpoint series is back, studying the 2022 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What comes next for Tom Brady's team? And to help us navigate this conversation is a man who's in his 27th year covering the Bucs, currently with PewterReport.com. And Scott Reynolds, you, sir, welcome to ATN. You, sir, predate the Pewter. And that shows everyone that this dude knows his Bucks history, the present, and what we need to know from you, the future.
Yeah, I do go back to the creamsicles. We're supposed to see those this year, but supposedly supply chain issues have caused problems. But we'll see the creamsicles for a throwback game next year.
You know
year.
What that means. Tom Brady said, no, I'm not wearing those.
Yeah, essentially.
And they're like, oh, well, supply. Let's before we get into what's going around the Bucks, because, Scott, this is an interesting moment in time for Tampa, because they make sense as a favorite in the NFC, but then you start to look closer at the roster and what's going on around the team, and you wonder if this could be a little more of a bumpy ride than some people expect. At least that's kind of where I am right now with the Bucs. Tom Brady returned to the facility from his absence. He practiced with the team in some capacity today.
Yeah.
Is everything on the Brady side of things now put to bed? It's going to be more like a Tom Brady Bucs season going forward? Or do you imagine any other unforeseen absences or anything like that moving on?
We hope so, but we're not sure. This has been the most un-Brady-like year for a guy that is so meticulous when it comes to preparation and details and planning. Remember, there was the awkward retirement, right, where some NFL reporters beat him to the punch, and then he clumsily retired, and then he unretired 41 days later out of the blue on the eve of free agency. So now all of a sudden, you know, it was an excused absence, and then two, and then, well, it's his birthday, and then he's not going to be here for the Tennessee week. So this has been a very un-Brady-like year in Tampa Bay. And listen, the Bucs are just happy to have him, because – the quarterbacks for this team were going to be Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask if it wasn't Brady. So they want one more year of Brady, even if the guy just shows up on Sundays and plays.
Why do you think, in terms of how this was handled? Because I think if Tom Brady, you know, a month and a half ago, they made it clear there was this scheduled time away. The team knew about it, but we're just going to drop this on all of you football fans and reporters out of thin air. I think that made it into so much more than it needed to be. Why would the Bucks, if you're the front office, the coaches, certainly your PR staff, why stir things up that way? That's sort of what just threw me about this whole situation.
Sure, and I think it was at Tom Brady's request. I think that's why they did it. Here's the thing. Whether this was a pre-planned vacation, whether there is some type of medical issue surrounding a family member, Tom Brady is a player that goes beyond the coverage of PewterReport.com or the Tampa Bay Times, for example. I mean, he's an icon. He is a national figure. So when you're talking about covering this guy, I mean, you're talking about paparazzi-type coverage. I mean, he is a Michael Jordan, LeBron James. He's an icon. And so imagine if Brady said, I'm going to go vacation. I'm going to take a couple days off, or I've got a family medical issue to attend to. You're just alerting the paparazzi to stake out certain places, right? Whether it's hospitals in California, if something happened to his parents, or, you know, the hot spots Brady likes to go, just so you get a picture of Tom not at Bucks practice, right? So I can see why he did it. And I do know that he's a public figure. He is a worldwide icon. At the same time, I still believe everybody deserves some level of privacy. And yes, we'd like to know, but I'm fine with knowing after the fact. He's back, and I think that's all Buccaneer fans really care about right now. And if you're going to vacation, if you're going to take some time away to see maybe an ailing family member, and I don't know what the reason is, it's just speculation, the time to do it is in training camp in August, because once the season comes, Brady will be locked in. He didn't come back for a 23rd year in the league at age 45 to mess around. He's coming back to win another Super Bowl.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if he had some sports science data that actually says a time of rest right a month before the season is actually optimal for his body at his age.
Right.
And he's at the point of his career.
Where he's
just saying, like, okay, I'm going to do this, and this is part of me
he
coming
back. He
makes
the rules now.
Right. He's like, I already booked the hotel room. I can't cancel it to come back. I love having you on, Scott, because when I started at RotoWorld in 2003, like, Pewter Report was around then. Like, that was one of the sites then that, like, we had in our RSS feeds to get the latest news. And I'm still looking at your site and using it. you had a headline, I think, that said the Kyle Trask experiment is all but over from the weekend. Yeah. I used that in my column on Monday because Blaine Gabbert looks like he's going to be the backup. I am curious, though, with everything that's gone around with Brady this offseason and this vibe that they changed the coaching staff, but not really. And that Brady hasn't been able to practice with Evans and Godwin and Gage because they've had their injuries and they lost Aaron Stinney over the weekend. And, of course, they lost Ryan Jensen. Like, what's the vibe of this offense not having gotten in the work that usually is so important to Tom Brady and just everything around this team kind of compared to what it was like the last couple of years with Arians?
I'm going to use a visual aid for the vibe. The vibe is this.
Fingers crossed for our audio listeners.
And keep in mind, I will say this. There was a little bit of magic in the bottle in 2020. Remember, there was no preseason. There was a truncated training camp because of COVID-19. There were no preseason games. So the very first time that Tom Brady wore a Buccaneer uniform was in the week one season opener at New Orleans. And that's the first time he threw to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in a game. So this is year three. He's 2 years ahead of that. He almost threw for over 4,500 yards in his first year, over 5,000 yards last year, 40 touchdowns 2 years ago, winning the Super Bowl in the regular season, and then 43 last year. So I feel good about where Tom's at in terms of knowing this offense and knowing the majority of the pieces. Now, there are a couple of new offensive weapons he's got to get some continuity with: Russell Gage, Julio Jones, Kyle Rudolph on the offensive side, Kate Otten.
How's Julio looked? Is the hype real on Julio? You've been at practices.
Yeah, and I think they're doing a really good job of managing him. I mean, it sounds crazy, but he went to Tennessee last year, and I was talking to some of the Tennessee folks last week at the practices, the joint practices in Nashville. He went there to be the number two receiver. I think at this stage of the game with the injuries, his body's not going to hold up to be that guy. But you know what? He can be the league's best fourth wide receiver. And I think that's what he's going to be. He's going to be a player that every once in a while, he's going to get featured and he'll get 100 yards a game. But maybe that happens once or twice this year. There's just so many weapons to throw to. But they really don't need Julio Jones so much in September as they're going to need him in January. And if you go back and look at the 3 years that the Bruce Arians coaching staff, let's call it that, because Todd Bowles has been here since 2019. In 2019 and in last year, they just ran out of wide receivers at the end of the season due to injury. And this is a wide receiver-driven offense. Hmm. The only year where they had everybody healthy was in 2020. And look what happened. They won the Super Bowl. They brought in Antonio Brown, and he added to that mix along with Scotty Miller, who was having a good year, and, of course, Evans and Godwin were the 1,000-yard receivers. So I like what the Bucs have done, being proactive in getting not just a Russell Gage to replace Antonio Brown, but getting a guy like Julio Jones so he can be here and learn this offense and be a factor as a role player throughout the year.
And Mike Evans is obviously a rock, but we know Chris Godwin is coming off the ACL. And, you know, as a Jets fan, I remember the Todd Bowles teams when he was at the lead. They ran the ball a lot. They ran the ball early on downs. And I'm just curious if you see a 5,000-yard season for Brady or anything close to it. I know Fournette's coming back. They invested a high draft pick in Rashad White. Yeah. Do you think this team turns into a more of a running-oriented team, or do you see them continue to play through Brady in the passing game, regardless of who's on the field?
Kind of both. And I don't mean to ride the fence there, but I see this being a pass first offense still. And why wouldn't it be, right? With Tom Brady and Evans and Godwin and Russell Gage and Julio Jones. But as you mentioned, Leonard Fournette, he got paid $7 million a year. So you might as well use him. The good thing with Leonard is he can play on all three downs. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. He's one of those guys that Tom Brady stood on the table for and said, I want Lenny back. If I'm coming back, I want Lenny back. Mm. And then Rashad White is I think going to be a star in this league. Maybe not a perennial Pro Bowl guy, but I think he can be a player that can run and catch the ball, have one of those 1,200, maybe 1,500 yard combined seasons in time. Leonard's going to be the guy this year, but Rashad White's going to be a nice addition. I think where they're trying to run the ball better is if you look at those losses to the Rams. Now it's three losses in a row dating back to 2020. They played the Rams twice last year. in the regular season and, of course, the playoffs. And then the Saints, they've lost seven straight regular season games to the Saints. If you take away that playoff win in 2020, the last quarterback to beat the Saints was Ryan Fitzpatrick in the season opener in 2018. Mm. The Bucs have struggled running the ball against the Saints and against the Rams. Both those teams have pretty good pass rushes, and they've got good players that can cover receivers in the secondary. So I think what Todd Bowles wants is he wants to be able to run the ball when they want or need to run the ball. And if you have a little bit more balance in those games against the Rams and Saints, and guess what? They're on the schedule again this year. Then I think you're not subjecting Tom Brady and that offensive line to as many sacks and hits, and you stand a little bit better chance to win the game with a more balanced offense. So I think it's going to be pass first against other teams, but against the heavyweight contenders in the NFC, I think they want to be able to be a little bit more balanced.
And speaking of the offensive line, obviously, I mean, if there's some weird vibes around the team, I mean, we saw when the line was banged up at the end of last year, Tom Brady was not looking like Tom Brady in some of those moments,
right.
And it was definitely a compromised attack, and he was extremely frustrated. Aaron Stinney goes down. Ryan Jensen's out of the mix. I mean, you're already at the point where you're testing your depth. This is all or nothing for the Bucs. It's like this season, and then we go into abyss after the season. So, I mean, are they? They've got 10. They got 10 million in cash space. They've got a full complement of draft picks for next April. Would they? Are they looking to maybe make a move? There's J.C. Treader sitting out there. There's other guys, or is it we're just going to stick with our dudes and hope this thing works? Like you said, you know, fingers crossed.
I think that they're going to probably get a veteran guard, maybe a guy that can play guard and center, because right now Nick Leverett is in the mix for that starting left guard job, along with Luke Goedeke, who got the start Saturday night in his first start in the NFL against the Tennessee Titans. He's making the transition from right tackle to left guard, so that's the right to the left, tackle to guard. That's already two hurdles. Then you have Central Michigan, which is the MAC, to the NFL. That's a big leap too. And you look at Tristan Wirfs, you can say, okay, we started him as a rookie, but Tristan Wirfs is just a freak. I mean, he was a first round pick to begin with. Plus he's played in so many big games in Iowa, you know, Power Five school. So they like what they have there, but I think the loss of Stinney is going to force this team to go out and get a veteran to throw in that mix too and compete at the left guard spot. They expect Tristan Wirfs to be back from his strained oblique. He missed the game on Saturday night, but they're hopeful he returns by the Dallas Cowboys season opener. But, you know, it is a little alarming what's happening along the offensive line right now. And if listen, you mentioned 27 years covering this team. The Bucs have won two Super Bowls. They've been to two. The only times they've been and won those games is when they were extremely healthy. And that usually goes – it's usually par for the course, right, for Super Bowl winners. But the Buccaneers only had one starter on injured reserve in 2002. That was nose tackle Booger McFarland. They only had one starter on injured reserve in 2020. That was right guard Alex Kappa. Aaron Stinney was the player that filled in for Kappa in the postseason in the Super Bowl. So right now, they're already missing Ryan Jensen. He's the Pro Bowl center. And the guy that you didn't mention was Pro Bowl left guard Ali Marpet, who suddenly retired at age 29 this year. So it does seem a little shaky up front right now for the Buccaneers offensive line. And that might be why they want to lean on the running game a little bit more. And so Brady's not subjected to dropping back 35, 45 times a game and getting hit.
And we just shared a look over here when you said worse might be a little up in the air for week one. You're looking at their
Cowboys too.
That's a tough schedule for the Bucs. We talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. Coming out of the gate, when you factor in that Brady missed a portion of training camp and the offensive line is dealing with injury and missing guys, and then you put in the schedule, that's where I start to get nervous about this team. Yeah. I mean, I wonder how they come out of the gate and what they're looking like when the calendar turns over to, say, October.
Scott, you don't know this, but Dan has been predicting Tom Brady's demise for eight straight seasons. And he's
it's going to happen.
He's ready for it to happen. Well, the gradual decline is...
That's a deep oversimplification from Greg. I don't think Brady's going to be the problem, but I'm speaking more to what's around him.
Right. You know? And Scott, I do wonder what kind of like in his heart of hearts what Jason Light and the ownership and different people in this organization sometimes think, because they experienced what the post-Brady era was like for a little bit. I guess they were trying to get him back probably the whole time.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. Tom Brady's a free agent after this season. We talked about earlier the report or the comment from Dana White that he was trying to get to the Raiders. John Gruden should, you know, put him up in the Ring of Honor again in Tampa. Yeah.
He got the Bucks win two Super Bowls.
Yeah, he got you another Super Bowl. Like, yep. He tried to get to the Dolphins.
He loves the Niners.
Two different times. I don't know. Is there like a little bit of like, this really might be our last year with Brady here, because whether he leaves to play football again or what, like, it's a lot. I want you, Scott, to be the guy asking the hard questions if this thing goes south. Just take it to Brady.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll say this, though. If you look at the state of the NFC South, and things can change quickly, right? I mean, nobody saw the Cincinnati Bengals going to the Super Bowl last year, but things can change quickly. So we'll see how the rest of the South develops and comes around. But right now, I still like the Buccaneers, especially with what they have going on defense and Todd Bowles being a defensive-minded head coach. If they can figure out the Saints in the regular season and at least split with them, I think that the post-Brady era can still be a fruitful one for the Buccaneers. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be great, but it can be good, meaning that I still think there's a path to the playoffs for the Buccaneers, even after Brady, because they've got enough weapons on offense to plug a quarterback in, as long as you don't get a guy that's a turnover machine like Jameis Winston was, because that was the real difference. In 2019, you had a quarterback throw 33 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, including an NFL record, 7 pick sixes, and you go 7-9. The team's pretty much the same the next year. Tom Brady comes and you flip out the quarterbacks, you go 11-5, win a Super Bowl. So if they can find a quarterback who's not a turnover machine, they can be kind of a caretaker, another Brad Johnson, if you will. A
lot of talent.
A guy that can come in, and I think this Todd Bowles defense is going to continue to be very good. You can win the South. And if you win the South, you get the automatic pipeline to the playoffs. And then who knows? Anything can happen in the playoffs. And it's all about, you know, the double H's, right? How hot you are and how healthy you are in January. And I think that there's a pathway to the playoffs for the Buccaneers after Brady's gone, just because the NFC South is not what it used to be. And we'll see how the Saints fare with Jameis Winston or whatever quarterback they choose in the years to come. But I think the Buccaneers can be good and still rule the roost in the NFC South for a couple of years after Brady.
Check out Scott Reynolds' latest article on pewterreport.com. It's a Bucks Monday mailbag. I love writing mailbags. Mailbags are fun.
They're fun.
So check out,
it's great mailbag.
Check out Scott's. I haven't done one in like 2 years. And also,
it's
Scott, before
yours.
We say goodbye to you, real quick answers. First thing that comes to your mind, okay. Was Brady on The Masked Singer?
No.
is Gronk on this team by Thanksgiving?
By Thanksgiving, I'd say by the playoffs. How about that?
Yes. All right.
I think he comes back.
All right.
I think he comes back in maybe December. Maybe not by Thanksgiving, but because he's got to eat, right? He's got to get the whole smorgasbord for Thanksgiving.
Right.
I don't think he wants to be out there running wind sprints and trying to get in football shape until after he has Thanksgiving. So that's my answer.
I like that. By like 2037, it'll be like Gronk, he'll commit to playing for the Super Bowl specifically.
Right.
With Tom Brady, quarterback, of course. All right. Thank you very much, Scott Reynolds.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
That's it. That's the Flashpoint. I mean, I feel like we're ahead of the story now, Mark, as
yes.
We always are with the Flashpoint series.
I've always believed in the series. We birthed it, the concept of it at the Combine, which was a rich time to come up with new ideas.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, you guys are going to talk about Baker Mayfield and the Browns, like
yep.
Dead weight. And then like literally within a 48-hour cycle after we did Flashpoint, mm-hmm. all chaos and hell breaks loose in Cleveland. So
same thing happened with Matt Ryan, right? Or was it Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz, yeah.
Two for two.
Ahead of that one,
so,
too.
But you've set such a high standard here. We have, I should say.
Maybe not the royal we. Maybe me and Mark.
I'm just saying something big has to happen. If they just are like 13-4 and have a normal
season. Well, what we're telling
season,
you and what the audience understands by now, because they trust the instincts of Mark and I, this will be a jumping off point to something else where people – everyone's going to be talking Tampa.
Well, who suggested the Bucks as a potential Flashpoint team?
I believe I did.
Dan did.
So the series.
Dan Hansis, shout out.
Thank you,
Paul Rudd.
What were you thinking the answer to that question?
I thought it was me. I don't remember.
No.
I thought I threw out the Bucks and the Ravens as two possibilities. I did.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't have to litigate that right now.
I'm checking the text. Yeah,
I recall it being Dan.
I threw out those two texts. Yeah.
I don't know.
Here it is.
No, I think you're trying to backdoor your way into this segment as a part of your brainchild, but sometimes you just got to
I think take the L a little bit. You know,
I think it's
just a huge hit. The segment.
There's more integrity around just taking the L on something like this.
There's no L to be taken. I think it was a wonderful conversation. And I'm with them. They still are like the favorites. I mean, I think it's weird and it could go crazy, but their defense is loaded. Their offense is loaded. I think they probably have the best roster in the NFL right now.
And
we
did team slogans a couple weeks ago. Like another one that pops in my head with the Bucks, like, it's going to be tricky. Feels like it's going to be a little bit tricky.
I think it's fingers crossed. Visual.
Fingers crossed is another good one.
Dan asks, is there a sexy storyline or topic out there we can tackle with a deeper dive and a guess? My answer.
I'm stupid.
Bucks lost another OL for the year and Brady returns. Period. Steelers? So I threw out two teams. And then you said Bucks are interesting to me. So
yeah.
I'm just saying.
You muddled the waters with the Steelers, so Zeuser had to come in and Tugboat had to clear the water.
Yeah, those were options.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you like to pick it, you know.
That's enough.
It's your sex.
That's enough. You've taken it too far. All right. That's it. So we'll be back, yes, with – and I was pulling your leg a little bit there, Mark. The fantasy extravaganza, I could tell just by looking at you, you are excited and pumped for the 48th annual ATN Fantasy Extravaganza.
Why would I miss the 48th incarnation of it? I mean, the guest list is spicy.
Are we sharing the guest list, or are we gonna hold?
Wait.
You want to wait?
I mean, I teased that other thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're a tease master.
So let's just stay where we are with that.
You're
with the guest list.
Big tease, Mark.
Then I'll see you on Wednesday.
There's those eyes between you two again.
Yep. And and Greg, I think you can honestly now again acknowledge Flashpoint Series not going away and has just a lot of juice.
It's a lot of juice.
Signature.
I think the main reason why it's back is this manufactured narrative that I'm not in favor of it. So there's really
Greg's
no way out
jerk.
Of this.
Greg's a jerk. Greg's a jerk.
On repeat.
Greg's a jerk. Greg is a jerk. Greg's a jerk. Greg's a jerk. Greg's a jerk.
Can you send that to me, please?
That was 9 different women, by the way.
Of course.
Good stuff. We have fun. Love you, Greg.
You're fine.
You're a good sport.
That is a nice callback, by the way.
All right. Till Wednesday. To the Fantasy Extravaganza.
Whew.
48 already, Greg.
49 now.
50th. Till Wednesday. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.